Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to Chatting Between Takes. I am Sean Benson, I am your host, Unsaken. I am your host, and I'm singing that way because I actually spent Sunday shooting a music video with Kat Weber for directing, you know how much I love Kat, I've mentioned her, I think I dedicated a podcast to her. So she was directing a music video for the band Jane's Party, who are phenomenal, also gave us some music for Barn Wedding, and it was awesome because she's like, you know, I want you to play the sort of overseer host of this thing happening in the video. Spoiler alert. Okay, there's going to be no spoilers because I want the video to drop properly without me giving anything away. However, what was so awesome is she said, I just want you to have fun and free reign with it. So I thought, host, eh? Overseer, eh? And so the first thing I go to, always, is Joel Grey in Cabaret. You know, it's funny, because I always say how Singing in the Rain is my favorite movie, and I remember, I don't know if it was even Variety or Hollywood Reporter, but one of them said after the movie Populaire, again, don't self-promo enough, go to Netflix, type in Populaire, delightful French romantic comedy, period piece set in the 50s, and then I play one of the four leads of the film, and I was described as having an uncanny resemblance to Gene Kelly, which would make sense. That as a child I'd be attracted to someone who looks like me. I'm sure there's something, genetic or animal kingdom, heritable traits getting passed on more easily if I link to people who look like me. Is racism genetic? So also I loved Singing in the Rain and was a young dancer and all that. So the point I'm making with the Gene Kelly stuff, small world, is he was slated to direct Cabaret. And in an act of humility, by the way, because, 1970, 71, 72, the world wasn't really about the Gene Kelly musical anymore. We had Bonnie and Clyde sort of launching the independent film revolution. And Gene Kelly was respected, but he wasn't what you might call in vogue at that time. And he actually could have taken this chance to go, I'm going to make myself relevant again or whatever. But he said, you know what? I don't connect with the darkness in this material in the movie Cabaret. It was actually a play first, a musical. You should talk to my friend Bob Fosse. And we all know about Bob Fosse in the 70s. It was a heyday for him. And I think he won an Oscar for Cabaret, if not the film or Liza Minnelli. I don't know. I can't remember. Joel Grey definitely did. I am your host, Unsaken. Willkommen, bienvenue. Every one of them a virgin. So, we had so much fun on Sunday shooting that. It's so funny. People say that thing, do something you love and you'll never work a day in your life. I think I had a 9 a.m. till 3 a.m. day. I don't know what the math on that is, but I didn't sleep much. And then I was meeting an actress the next day to coach with her at 9 a.m. I was happy to be in the first and the last shot of this project and then leave and go teach my class and go back. That was one of the days where I was busy. I talk about how, I am busy. You know what I'm saying, though. Sometimes I have 3 hours in between stuff. So I can't make a full plan like I'd like to go to the movie or the ball game or whatever. But I do have 3 hours within which to kind of chill or whatever. And also I do think an artist's life has a bit of, conscious downtime, we'll call it. Where either we're refueling by just doing nothing, and that is actually part of work. Try to tell that to your boss at the law firm. You're just leaning back for 3 hours imagining, and you're billing for it. But, we kind of get to do that sometimes, which if we didn't, the art for me just wouldn't be as good. Because most of my ideas come in a place of calm, not when I'm looking for them. Because if I'm looking for the idea, I've only got one eye left to see the idea. Hashtag Zen flesh, Zen bones. Couple things I want to talk about today. Nothing crazy. I'm on my way to teach at Sheridan, the photo course. But there's a couple things that come up and, it's just unbelievable that people give a shit about how fucking Starbucks presents their cups. Now look, if you're listening to my podcast and it's not your first time, I'm probably preaching to the converted. If not, people who generally have common sense as their core, whether they agree with me on each point or not. It'd be weird if you did, but generally speaking, you know, we're all pointing in the same direction. And it's not of right or left, it's common sense. There are fucking people who are trying to arrange a boycott of Starbucks because at Christmas this year they want to make their cup red, which I think is a very festive Christmas kind of color, but it's not enough because it doesn't say anything about Christmas. It just is red. And the idea that it doesn't say Christmas is perceived as an attack on Christmas. Now let's remember, not getting what I want isn't the same as having something taken from me. I hope, you know, this is one of the big things I talk about. I didn't book that movie last week that I podcasted about. Nothing got taken from me. And so it's all these pussy bitch whiners who sit around going, I'm being attacked. You're not being attacked. You're just, Starbucks isn't pointing at you and going, your religion's the right one. So quit fucking, like, messing with the, what is it? The reality of the situation, but I guess that's what whiners do, right? Is whiners tend to perceive attack where there's none and then go, woe is me. That's why I treat my wife like shit. Or that's why I haven't been promoted from my job in years. Or because the economy and my wife and Starbucks won't fucking celebrate me. Come on, you fucking pussy bitch. Shake your shit off. And why don't you go adopt a fucking orphan? Someone posted that on Facebook. I thought it was brilliant. If one family in every three churches adopted, there'd be no orphans in America. But people in those churches are more willing to spend their time complaining about a Starbucks cup color. Or not the color, but the lack of, hey, you're awesome because you're Christian on it. Anyways, it's a big fucking bunch of pussy ass shit. And of course, the flip side is, I say Merry Christmas to everybody because I celebrate Christmas. It's the same way I tell people it's my birthday and I invite them to my birthday party. I don't invite someone to my birthday party and then go, look, I understand it's not your birthday party, so make sure no one mentions that it's my birthday. No, no, no. You're welcome to my party and it's my birthday and I will come to your whatever celebration. What I will not do is come to the celebration of whatever fucking law and subset of laws it is that buries women in the ground up to their neck and stones them. Because that happened last week, 2 weeks ago. It happens. So all you crusaders against Starbucks, why don't you fucking hike your balls into some fucking, what's the word? What do the gladiators have? A cod piece. And go fight a real battle. Go overseas and fucking murder anyone who will stone a woman for a supposed infidelity because she won't do the arranged marriage in the utterly patriarchal, misogynistic society that doesn't allow women the right to do anything. That's a real battle. I can get behind that one. I'll send my fucking tax dollars to that battle. I will, by the way. It's where I came up conservative on a few of these quizzes pre-election. Because that's a real problem. That's Nazi equivalent, and we all know that anyone who fought that Second World War was on the right side of it, coming from Canada and the States. You see what I'm getting at, is come on, pick your battles and quit being so offended by nothing. You know, what's actually happening? A fucking multi-billion dollar franchise is choosing to, by the way, choosing to do good business, you know? I mean, look at the makeup of our countries in North America. Why would you want to go around going, Merry Christmas? You want to say Happy Holidays. Because it's one thing to be an individual, and it's another to be a company and go, look, we want to include everybody. It's called market share. It's called market share. And the more inclusive we are, the more market share we're going to get. Now look, someone like Fox News isn't inclusive at all. And they have great market share. So there is a flip side, which is a niche. Grow your niche. They're a niche marketer. They're brilliant, by the way. Kudos to Fox News for their marketing and their niche. And not kudos, by the way, I don't know, watch Fox News when I can. Just not kudos to you if you swallow it hook, line, and sinker. Don't swallow The Daily Show hook, line, and sinker. Don't swallow Fox News hook, line, and sinker. Be critical thinkers, my friends. I have a question for y'all. And this actually struck me. It was one of these questions on like Friend of Bay or whatever, one of these awesome, funny Instagram accounts. And it was like, if you want to depress yourself, just ask yourself, what do I do for fun? And it actually made me quite happy, this question, because these days I take real care to have a very full life. I have to work at it, by the way. I have to consciously choose to have fun sometimes because I'll be a workaholic otherwise. By the way, that sound of me talking like that is that I started vaping. That's a bit of fun for me. Okay, I talk about how I love cigarettes, but I'm 40 years old and I can't keep smoking them. It's just not a good thing for me. And I talked how I want to up my game, both, most specifically in my martial arts. That's the fundament of it all. But martial arts, for anybody who's been doing it for the length of time I has, you know that it's not about martial arts. It's about you as a person. I want to up me as a person. And that person doesn't smoke cigarettes as much as I'd like him to. And by the way, I've never been addicted to smokes the way I was the booze or the drugs. I've just always enjoyed them, but I've never not felt the effects. So then my neighbor had this vaping contraction, and I've always thought vaping is douchey as fuck. And we were even making fun of my neighbor for being douchey while vaping. And then I had a pull or two. I was like, ooh, that's very pleasant. I like that. So I grabbed myself a little 3-milligrammer of some like oaky thing called Zero Dark 30 and love it. Emily loves it. We just kind of fucking crack a vape here or two in the house. So the real test was when I got on my bike in the basement this morning, hashtag up in my game, and I spun for an hour. And no ill effects on the lungs. I mean, there's all this stuff about propylene glycol, but apparently it's a very benign substance. It's sort of in the mist of like, not dry ice, but misting machines. And anyways, I know there's not enough long-term studies to label something healthy, but I know that the things that my body reacts to is it digs the mellow nicotine, but it doesn't seem to be getting any of the shitty side effect. To be continued, my friends, because I'm not telling you to go vape. I am saying that I was digging on it, and my first real acid test. You know, I've been working out a lot lately, but today was the first just dedicated cardio in the week I've had this little contraption, and digging it. There are some things, I hope, that can be both pleasurable and non-detrimental. So we'll see if this one ends up being that. So anyways, what do you do for fun? Now, I've had periods in my life where, you know, I just have to sort of be blank or again point to my work as fun or point to the fact that there's satisfaction versus fun. Those are pretty legit answers, by the way. My work is fun, and we all know satisfaction's more important than like being up into club every night, because then that ceases to be fun. I've stolen this from Dr. Drew and Adam Carolla, which is a good life versus the good life. The good life is the woot woot. A good life is a nice, consistent, awesome, growing, foundational kind of thing. So having that, it'd be real easy to go, no, that's my fun, you know? But I'm talking fun. I'm talking not going to the gym. I'm talking not working on a script. Not shooting photos that may one day be posted in any way that will be related to income or prestige. I'm talking fun. No one's around. What do I do for fun? Now, it did strike a chord with me because, A, it made me be really grateful. And actually, a reverend wrote a great article about the Starbucks thing and said, everybody who's bitching, remember, there's a reverend from the Christian or Catholic Church, I don't know which, saying, you're all bitching about a fucking Starbucks cup. It seems you've skipped over the holiday that comes first, known as Thanksgiving. How about you give some goddamn thanks? And one thing I realized is I have a lot of things I do for fun these days. Even if it's just reading, even if it's just reading my magazines. But it's a conscious act that I enjoy that's unrelated to any kind of game or any other person. Obviously driving my car any and everywhere. I actually think I'm going to take this car in 2 weeks and drive it 3.5-4 days straight down to Los Angeles And I can't remember if I mentioned this in the last cast, but the thought of me putting this thing away that brings me so much joy is depressing me. It'd be like saying, you can't golf from, you know, late November until May or whenever it is. Well, that would be ridiculous if you love golf the way I love driving. So why not take a golf vacation? And basically going to do that. So I'm going to drop the car off, leave it with my buddy Eric, and then him and Kobe will kind of, you know, chill with it till I get down there in January or February. And I'm still deciding if I go down for a week, a month, 2-3 months in January or February for business. So it's kind of a nice setup. But the worst, not the worst, the least LA time case scenario means I go down and I span a Porsche Owners Club weekend and go to Willow Springs and drive this thing. And then I spend a week driving it through Mulholland, etc. And then I fly home rejuvenated. And then I get to drive home in the spring. And again, if I play my cards right, I'll be able to drive all the way up through Seattle, see one of my best friends, Bill, go say hi to Vancouver, and then trickle back across Canada. I've been dying to do those boring planes. Never done them. So you see what I'm saying is that this is really fun for me. Obviously, getting on the motorbike when I have no destination is fun. I love playing my guitar. Guitar's become way more of a hobby for me. You know, these guys I'm playing with, Atticus and Rowan, we call ourselves, I'm going to hold off on the band name. We might do a bit more of a formal drop sometime, but shout out, guys, but it's fun. There's no pressure to make anything, and we even went out the other night and we played our first gig out at the old open mic I used to do. And after we played for about 15, 20 minutes, you know, it was our turn to step down. We were going to play again a bit later, but that's how the open mics work. And Atticus, I just kind of looked at him like, huh. And he was like, you know, if we were in my attic right now, we could just play the whole time and no one would get up there on our instruments. And I just thought, yeah, spoken like a guy who loves playing more than a guy who likes to be seen playing. Hence, I found the right guys to be playing with. Well, hello, my friends. I'm actually picking up a fair bit later because what seems to keep happening on these days as I'm driving to work, I get a phone call and voila, starting again. I think the sound probably ends up being a fair bit different too, just by virtue of the mic in a different position. So my apologies. That's life in the car cast lane. Life in the car cast lane. Alright, driving home from teaching. Wonderful time. Was talking about things to do for fun, I think. If I jumped into a new topic and now I'm jumping back. Hey, man, that's the risk we take with the car cast. Had a really great class. Sometimes when we're doing stuff, we have the students do in-class assignments, and then we get free time, but we want to work on stuff. So I actually have been working on some contract stuff for Barn Wedding. I'd call that the opposite of fun. I'm sure some people like that kind of work. I don't love it. Honestly, I don't love this producing aspect of this film. It's something that I think I'm reasonably good at, and it's something that, you know, we just need to do. But it, for me, is one of those things where it's just like, get her done, buckle down, get her done, son. Not my first choice of how to spend a couple hours, but I'm pretty lucky. You know, I mentioned growing up with a dad as an English prof. I also have a brother who's a corporate lawyer, and I've spent years playing a lawyer and being the kind of guy I am. I wanted to know a bit about it, so I went and met with lawyers and blah, blah, blah. So it isn't rocket science. It's just language, and the language means stuff, and there's no Latin terms, you know, in a possible deal. I'll fill you guys in later, but it's all really great news for the film. It's been a long process. You know, I've been saying this to you guys for about a year now. And it is ongoing that way. Learning a lot, though. I'll definitely know how to make my next movie a little more cleanly. Speed's not even that important. I mean, the movie doesn't have an expiry date. So whenever it gets out, it makes sense to get out. So we've got the best deal possible. So that's been a real blast. Even though I don't love the work, I love the progress. And that's the thing, right? Like this morning, I didn't want to ride my bike. That didn't fall under fun. It's not brutal. I mean, I could be doing other things for cardio, and biking's my choice today. So I'm not complaining, but I like the result. I like how hungry and lean I felt all day. And then that motivates me not to eat like 4 cookies at dinner. Take a little vape. Love the vape. Don't know if, I don't even know how legal vapes are or not. Don't care. I mean, I know it's legal to buy and do. I don't know if you're allowed to vape indoors or not. I don't even like the term vaping. But what are you gonna do? It's called what it's called. And the benzo wants what the benzo wants. What else is fun? You know? Oh, anyways, what I was going on is, I really recommend if you don't have anything you do for fun, find something. Personally, I find it so grounding. And, you know, last week I was frustrated about a business thing. And I wasn't able to stop my head from spinning on it. I was just going round and round, and I was mad, and I was playing out arguments in my head. And, of course, I was right in all of them, and I was winning them. But I was also losing them by virtue of the fact that I was having them alone while driving on a sunny day. So what I did, I don't know if I talked about this. I couldn't make the wrap party for a film I shot and go do the karate and golf that I wanted to do. It was an either-or situation. Well, you know, I've made this commitment to up my game. And, you know, the weather's turning, so there's not going to be so much more golf. And what I was frustrated with had to do with business, i.e. my business, acting and directing and producing and all that. So I said to myself, would you rather go to a party for that business and be amongst those business people, none of whom I had a specific issue with, these people are all phenomenal, or go hang out with one of your best friends you've known since before you started acting, my karate teacher, train hard, then stay over at your best friend since you were 4's house, wake up and golf. Not only did I do that, I turned my phone off for the whole round. Well, let's just say on the drive home, I wasn't so worried about that loop in my head because it didn't exist. It was awesome. So again, karate and sword are an interesting one because they are fun, but they also fit within a deeper realm of sort of, I don't know, self-satisfaction, this, that, whatever. I'm not sure I'd call those fun, to be honest. It's not the right word. They're just me. That's really the best way I could put it. They're me. They're fulfilling. Golf's fun. Golf's just fun. Hanging around, golfing. The hip's doing better, so I'm walking instead of taking the cart all the time. Blah, blah, blah. That was fun. Let's see, tomorrow I'm gonna go do more sword, and I have about 4, maybe 3 hours of work to do, actual work, and then I think I'm gonna hang some stuff in my office, some photos, print out some other photos I dig. Again, this is hobby stuff. Photos are often not a hobby. This is hobby stuff. This is photos for me. Photos in my office that nobody else is gonna see. I don't know. I think I always like to speak from my own experience, but I also see around me people, many of whom are close to me, who maybe don't have a lot they do other than their duty and then like working out. Now in my world, the working out, like I said, it's part of the duty half the time. So I don't know. Sometimes I'm like, when was the last time you went and shot fucking pickup basketball and didn't care if you won or lost, or cared but didn't care if you lost once it was said and done? I was playing softball last year and a couple of years ago more regularly. I gave it up because of the time commitment. I can only do so many things, but as much as I really cared about every single play and every at bat, I then didn't care about the final score. And part of it is, like I talked about with the volleyball, it's pretty much out of my hands. If I'm hitting a single, double, or a homer, 3 out of 4 at bats, remember, it's softball, I'm being pitched to by someone who wants me to hit it. And we lose, you know, what am I gonna do? Get mad at like the guy playing pickup softball? I don't really care. So it's kind of nice to have things where the outcome doesn't matter, where I don't feel let down. if somebody cracks a ball to second and, you know, the guy who doesn't play a lot of softball fumbles it and they score two runs, whatever. Whatever. I'm just there to hang out, make jokes, swing the bat, you know, and go for a burger after with the crew. That's a fun thing. I wonder how many things that I think are serious I can make fun. This goes back to when I was in a band, Analog Smith. Check it out, iTunes, Light of Day EP. You will love it. So when I was super serious, well, we started for fun. We just liked jamming. And then we actually got pretty good, pretty quick. You know, writing songs wasn't real hard for us, and people liked the songs, and we were playing parties and getting paid. It wasn't overnight, but within a year, we were a functioning band playing up and down Sunset and playing private parties. And we'd cut our first demo, like I think it was a full 10-song EP. LP, we don't have that one up anymore. The sound quality doesn't quite match where we got to. But it was great. It was fun. It was for fun and for free, basically. Then we got serious. I remember we negotiated this one contract with a manager for like months. And we got so hung up on every word in the contract, it wasn't that fun anymore. You know, we got to the point where we were playing for a goal, and then we almost got signed by Nickelback's team. And whatever you think about Nickelback, that would have been a killer team to hook up with, the Live Nation and their management team. And they were legitimately courting us, like coming to our recording sessions. We'd set up little private shows for them and possible other people they work with. I didn't really ever negotiate or navigate that scene very well, but we were legit. To the point where I was in LA long after I should have moved back to Toronto, given where my acting career was at, after destroying it with booze and drugs and a writer's strike hitting. But the music was a legitimate and viable thing for a while. My point with this is it ceased to be fun really quick once it looked like we could make money from it. Partly because we all had expectations from one another. When it didn't go the way we want, again, as is habitual for me, it was never my fault. It was always someone else's fault. Blah, blah, blah. And then I quit the band. I quit it because I was coming back to Canada to be an actor. And a dear friend of mine, who was a musician and older and helpful to me in my life in a lot of ways, I called him and I was like, you know, I went to rehearsal tonight, having quit the band, and they were arguing, and I wasn't because I'm not in the band anymore. I'm just helping out for the next few gigs before I leave. And I realized everything they were arguing about was kind of stupid and didn't actually matter and wasn't going to make any difference other than stealing joy. And he said, well, you've hit upon a little secret of mine. I was like, what's that? He said, well, for about the past 20 years playing music, pretty successfully, I believe, in like Nashville and with different acts, he said, I've just been permanently quit. And it always goes well. I thought that was cool. As such, even Emmy Rouge. Emmy Rouge, check it out. YouTube, iTunes, great shit. Emmy Rouge for Emily and Me is a project. It's not an obligation. It's not a contract with each other, especially because we're dating. How fun would that be if we get home from a hard day on set or a great day on set or whatever day, but fucking 14 hours, and then one of us starts going, you're not holding up your end of the band. Oh, man. Yeah, we're going to have a lot of fun that night, living together, trying to make dinner together, trying to make sure our fucking errands are done, and shitting on each other for not fulfilling the other's dream. So my question is, who are you making beholden, or who do you feel is beholden to you to fulfill your dreams that maybe hasn't agreed to that? They're maybe there for fun, and you're maybe there going, how dare you be here for fun? This is about me and my success. Now, by the way, if you're in a hobby band, quote unquote, metaphorically, and you're not in it for the hobby, it might be the wrong band, you know? If Atticus and Rowan were like, fuck you, man. I can't believe you're disappearing to go to LA or to shoot your shit. You're leaving us hanging. I'd say, yeah, and I probably always will. Instead of what's happening, which is every week we're in town, we play one or two times, if not more. We grow our repertoire. We practice alone. But nobody thinks twice when Rowan goes and sits in with some jazz guys, or I go off with Emmy Rouge, or Atticus, you know, plays with his brother or whoever, because we don't have that. As such, it's fun. That's really the point. It is fun. I remember Dave Steele. Hey-o, Steeler. He kind of quit Brouhaha. We were jamming in the living room of a house we had on John Street. No, it was the earlier house on Essex, near the Flying Tomato. Does anyone remember Flying Tomato? In London, going to Western. Dave was a fan shop. We were playing with Chuck and Chris McNabb. And I was pretty intense about it. I didn't know how to not be intense back then. And we're just jamming. And I was telling Dave how to play. And Dave just said, I'm done. This isn't that fun anymore. I don't know if we've ever even talked about this, Dave. Sorry about that. You know, I should tell you that in person. But, you know, it wasn't fun for him. I made it not fun. And there was no reason to be that intense about it. Brouhaha was not going to sign a record deal. You know, I just didn't know how to do things. I didn't know how to play well with others at the time. And so even what was interesting is that was still fun for me. That weird intensity that wasn't fun for those around me. And was it fun for me? Or was it still a bit unfulfilling? I don't know. It was fun. It was fun within what I knew. It wouldn't be fun today to either be that guy or be in a band with that guy. I wouldn't want to be in a band with my 21-year-old self. I just wouldn't. I wasn't offering enough to outweigh it, you know. If you're shooting a film with actor X and that actor's worth $100 million and they're driving the box office for that film and your career's going to shoot through the roof by co-starring with them and they're a dick, it's worth it. The benefit will probably outweigh the gain. But when you're shooting an indie film in Greece with a guy who doesn't learn his lines and he's a prick, it's not worth it. The benefit isn't going to come. Y'all kind of got to pull together to make it worth it, because most indie films are never going to be seen. Now, I'm not saying that, like, that's work, so it's not anyone's job to make it fun. But if there's no benefit other than it being a good time, and hey, big fucking surprise, you can do both. You know, the compliments I seem to get from Seth these days is, I can't wait to work with you again, and great job. Whereas what I used to get is, yeah, not bad, good, I mean, good work, dot, dot, dot. And, you know, I've talked about that, talking with producers in retrospect, who I might have called and apologized for being a little bit unruly on set or whatever, they're like, oh, no problem. But yeah, I did always wonder why we never elevated the way we could have. And I know the answer. It's because I didn't know how to work with other people and make a shooting day fun in between takes. Now, granted, there's days where a certain intensity is required. I promise you this, shooting a law series for network television, for a light drama, not as much intensity required as I might have thought. Not 1/10 of the amount. Maybe one scene every 4 eps. Yeah, I gotta dig deep and don't need to chat with the makeup artist much while they're touching me up 3 minutes before the take. But other than that, no need to be a cock. And I was. Where are you being a cock, people? Where are you making something that could be fun if it weren't for you not fun? I guarantee it's happening. I fucking guarantee it. I have to do this with Emily all the time, which is step back and go, hey, dude, why are you making something that's just like a stroll or dinner or going for a drive for the day? You're planning to leave at 9. She's not quite ready at 9. It's your day off. It's a drive. Who gives a shit if she comes down at 9:10? I might if I don't talk myself out of being a cock. Where are you being a cock, ladies, gents? Just asking, not accusing, but I know you're doing it because we can't not. You know, how important is it? I read something the other day, if it's urgent, it's not important, and if it's important, it's not urgent. We talked about this on the podcast. Maybe that's not totally true. There are deadlines, Time passes. There's windows of opportunity. There's no self-made billionaire out there who he or she won't tell you, had I not done that one thing on that one day, this might not have happened. But we can't connect the dots forward, as one billionaire said, Steve Jobs. 2005 commencement address to the Stanford students, you can look it up. You can't connect the dots forward, and usually when we try, it's a lack of faith, and in that lack of faith is where we're trying to run the show, and in trying to run the show, what a cook, what a cook. Whoever can name me that reference, free chatting between takes, mug. You're a cook, you're a cook, get it, you're a cook, you're a cook. Ugh. You took my stapler, put it in the jelly, you're a cook. Good stuff. Ah, man. All right, I'm going to give it away. The British Office. There are certain things that I really do. I don't have many. Well, I got regrets. Sure, I do. I got lots of them. But I don't have many nostalgic moments where I actually, like, care. I get the tug. I get the, I get the, if you could go back in time. But not so many that actually make me sort of like, God, I wish I could do that over. But a lot of it relates to like watching The British Office for the first time. And that brand of humor that's now become so ubiquitous, not existing except in The British Office. And there being this small sort of subset of us passing around the info, like, if you haven't seen The British Office, you should. And most people not knowing what you're talking about. And then you watch it or they watch it and you just, your mind is blown and you rewatch it over and over like the first Matrix in the theater. I saw that thing so many times and I'd bring people and everyone would be like, what the fuck? Same as The British Office. Oh, to go back and watch that out of context of 2015. Because, you know, even Emily, we started watching The British Office and, well, she'd seen Parks and Rec and she'd seen The U.S. Office and she'd seen basically Ricky Gervais and his thing. But before you knew his thing, he was just David Brent. He wasn't Ricky Gervais. And I've said that about Battlestar Galactica. Although I think I was just mourning a breakup and everything going on between Apollo and Starbuck made me weep while I sat in my bath and binge watched and was depressed. So that one was, I can't rewatch it. It doesn't do for me what it does the way The British Office still does. So that's an interesting one because I wonder if I did go back but wasn't in that state, if it would have any relevance. Because for me, The Office does. Like it would just work no matter what mood I'm in. I do think my brother recommended Battlestar Galactica to me at the right time. Oh, still, what a show, though. Those Cylons, they just don't stop coming. Ah, the Cylons. My God. Oh, so I'm doing a little thing where because of our top 10 status and the growth we're incurring as a webcast or a podcast, I'm saying thank you to all my guests, and I'm reposting my episodes with my guests. So that should be pretty fun. You can go back if you're catching up later. Today I just posted one with Atticus Mitchell, my friend, my bandmate, and he was my first ever guest. We had a great chat. I think it let me know and let a lot of us know that we had something legit on our hands here. It's not just about solo rambles. So if I do this trip down to LA in 2 weeks, I'm going to have a lot of fucking board time. Well, board isn't the word, zone time. Let's call it zone time, man. A lot of zone time. Going to be a lot of car casts. I might try and hook up like a better headset mic situation. No one's complained yet, though. I actually made adjustments today because I didn't like the sound of the zipper. But generally speaking, I think we're in good measure here. So yeah, I'm going to get in my 30-year-old sports car. And in four days, honestly, with me, it'll probably be three because I like driving as much as anything else. And I'll get up with the sun. I'll drive till fucking 10, grab a room, crash, and keep going the next day. This trip's about getting the car to LA for the winter. It's not about the kind of sightseeing I'd like to do. Partly too, you know, opportunity. If I wait too long, snow could hit. You know, if the Eastern Seaboard gets cranked with some snow and I haven't gone yet, I might not get to go. Which would be fine because I could always, you know, rent a car for a month in LA if I go down. It's not what I want to do this for. It's not what I'm looking to winter for. So obviously excited about that trip, excited to share those podcasts with you guys, and then like at night post them or whatever. I think that'd be a pretty fun way to go. Bank a few, spank bank a few, put a few in the spank bank. What do you have in your spank bank, my friends? That's part of your fun. That's part of your fun. I think these spank banks, I think they're so valuable because there's an internal landscape and fantasy we have that existed before, let's say, we met our partner, monogamous or open relationship or otherwise, and you can't even necessarily put into words how you feel and perceive that stuff. I'm not suggesting be a jerk-off artist all day every day or go room to room with a box of Kleenex every day that I know of. Hold on, taking a pull off the vape. But I am saying, value your fantasies. Cultivate them, sexual or otherwise. And then, maybe, how close do you live into that? If you're not ever close, fucking change it up, bitches! Change it up! If you're never touching your dreams, get moving! Quit your damn job. Fucking open the restaurant you've always wanted to open. Do it up. What's the worst that could happen? I mean, shit can happen, but the worst thing that could ever happen to me, this is part of the reason why I'm going to go back down to LA and audition some, is giving up on a dream. You know, I postponed a lot of stuff with booze and drugs. It doesn't mean that the desire or the talent, I'm lucky enough that all that rocky road kind of added to who I am as a person, and then as an artist I get to draw from that and hopefully even be more relatable through a humility and a strength. Wait, am I talking about Rocky? Am I talking about fucking Creed? Can we talk about this? Not sponsored, by the way, full disclosure, but I can't think of anything more exciting to me than going to see Creed in the theater. What? I don't know the exact release date. That trailer looks incredible. I just weep up at it. You got Stallone acting beautifully in that trailer. You got Michael B. Jordan, who's fucking brilliant. Not Sky Jordan. Michael B. Does anyone remember Sky Jordan? Air Jordan, whatever you want to call him. Air Jordan's obviously the real one. Sky Jordan is because I had two separate posters. I was really into basketball when I was younger. Midget MVP, junior captain, not MVP. Not that I would have been, because Adam Vige, I think, got it and he was amazing. But I could have been, except for the fact that I abandoned our team in grade 11 for the fucking finals that I just assumed we'd win to go on a ski trip because I didn't understand teamwork at the time. I really didn't. It's one of my regrets. I might have even mentioned it on the podcast. I don't have a lot of stories. I just retell them and hope you've listened intermittently. Wasn't going to win that, but loved basketball, loved the Bulls. They were my team. Sky was the word on all these Air Jordan posters I had. Air Jordan rocked. So anyways, not him, Michael B. Jordan. This Creed, forget about it. I can't think of a movie I've been as excited for. Just saw Spectre, loved it. Okay, this movie's not getting love. Skyfall was wank. Skyfall started off so great. Ben Whishaw's a genius. Fucking Ray Fiennes is a genius. Judi Dench in that, blah, blah, blah. Javier Bardem, yes, I get it. But the fact that he chooses to go to that, spoiler alert, place he grew up, Skyfall, and like, you know, basically do Home Alone, not kidding, he literally like puts nails in light bulbs to like blow up and get in their eyes, like the criminals who are all coming to attack him with, you know, military-grade helicopters and stuff, even though he could have brought all that stuff with him because he did take enough time to stop and get stuff and go there. Makes no sense. ludicrous. And everything that then happens, and everyone who dies because of it, spoiler, M, Judi Dench, what the fuck's up with that? And we're supposed to feel all like, oh, sad for him and her. Whereas Spectre, it's almost like the thing that people are complaining about is the thing. I don't think you're a true Bond fan if you don't enjoy the Moore stuff, because that's so quintessentially Bond. He's not my favorite. My favorite is Daniel Craig and Sean Connery, a very close second. But Roger Moore was brilliant. Brilliant. And that joy and that light touch. Daniel Craig had a bit of that finally, as did the film. And yes, there's plot problems. And surprisingly, Christopher Waltz was, I don't think, up to his usual standard. And I think it's a directing issue because that guy's brilliant. But he was either too quirky or not quirky enough to be scary in any way. He almost just seemed goofy. But whatever. The movie still holds. I loved it. I was grinning. Issues notwithstanding. So look, I'm not the guy. I mean, I like the movie Barbwire. And it's not just because Pam Anderson is in latex. It would never just be because she's in latex. If that's the kind of person you are, get your mind out of the gutter, Bill Burr TM. I am home now, my friends. Thanks for taking the ride with me. And got some guests coming up. Got some Hannah Cheeseman. Got some Katie Boland coming up. Got some Kara G coming up. So we're going to really be doing some cool shit with this podcast. If it seems like I'm only getting pretty ladies in, that's coincidence. I'm getting talented, brilliant movers and shakers in. All of these people. So thanks for hanging with me in the drive. Rainy, gross night. But that, my friends, is a wrap on Chatting Between Takes. Abuya Kasha!